Isaiah says, look down from heaven and see your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, yearning of your heart and your mercies towards me? Isn't that amazing? You know, as you read this and you think about one turning their eyes up upon heaven and petitioning God for His zeal. And that's the topic of tonight's lesson. We're going to talk just a little bit. I pray for just the right amount of time here about the idea of zeal. And so as you have your Bibles open there, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. We're going to look at verses just 15 and 16. And basically what's going on here is that Ahab, his family, his household is being taken away one by one. He's literally his lineage, everything about him is being removed from the earth. And there is one who is very much zealous about doing that thing. His name was Jehu. And all of Ahab's family systematically are being destroyed, killed. And in verse 15, we read this, now when he departed from there, he met Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, and coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said to him, is your heart right? And Jehonadab said, it is. Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand. So he gave him his hands and he took him up to the chariot. And then he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. And so they had him ride in his chariot. Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Isn't that just a flower of all kinds of thoughts and emotions about how we should have great zeal for the Lord. All that Jesus has done for us, our Lord, our King, and our Master. You know, everything from coming down from the glories of heaven, giving up all that comfort to walk upon this earth and to be with man, and knowingly that he was going to be ridiculed, hated, they would try to kill him before his time. And he had great zeal for the love of us. His zeal for us was just amazing. This little bit of creation here. We are like worms, the scripture says. Filthy rags. And yet God had great zeal for us. And we need to try to mimic that zeal when it comes to telling the world about our Christ, about our Savior, about Jesus. As we go through life, we need to have zeal. We see Jehonadab joining up with Jehu, and Jehu, you can picture that, reaching out his hand. You know, if your heart's right, then here, take my hand. Come on up in here. And guess what? They went together. And he continued to do what he had promised to do, to rid Israel of all who worship Baal, the legacy of Ahab and Jezebel. Come and see my zeal. Boy, what an exciting thing that is. And it should never just stop there as a story of the Old Testament. It should be in each one of us as a zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be able to be a people studying about Nehemiah's life. Very, very inspiring. You know, he had a mind to work even amongst all the scoffers, Nehemiah. You know, few today may be able to match that kind of zeal. He worked very hard. He was meticulous and extremely fast. Nehemiah was very emotional, right? He prayed, he cried, he had deep feelings when it came to the reconstruction of that wall and the work that was going on in Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, it never would have been done so quickly if they didn't have zeal. And they all worked, we know for the story, they worked side by side, and they all worked and did their jobs. They, you know, it tells us how the great zeal they had. They worked with one hand and had a sword in the other. because they wanted to get this done, and they also had to deal with the enemies. Those were the remnants that were left in captivity. They suffered great affliction, great reproach from all around, and that wall in Jerusalem was broken down. And the gates, they were burned with fire. And it came to pass, Nehemiah says, I heard these words and I sat down and I wept. He mourned for days. He fasted and he prayed before his God in heaven. You can read about that in the first few verses of Nehemiah chapter 1. See my zeal, he says. And so as we think about Nehemiah, as we think about Jehu and Jehonadab and just that idea of having great zeal to accomplish something for God. You know, in the American Heritage Bible, the scripture talks about zeal, or the definition rather about zeal is an enthusiastic devotion for a cause, an ideal or a goal. Tireless diligence in its furtherance. When we have zeal for the Lord, there's nothing going to stop you. Right? The enemy's coming. Well, hold up that sword. Let them come, but I'm going to keep on working for the Lord. I'm not going to stop. The work needs to be done. Ahab and his Jezebel and all his family, they're running and hiding, but they, with zeal, they just continued to keep their promise to God. And so as we study these things, we want people to see our zeal. I can't even begin to tell you the difference between walking up to somebody and say, well, you know, I'm a member of the Lord's church. Are you a member of a church? Do you know Jesus? And, yeah. You know, I appreciate Jesus. I enjoy Jesus' word. And I'd like you to come and study with me. I'd like you to study and we'll work together through the scriptures and we'll learn about God and learn about faith. And there's that's a far cry from saying, excuse me, do you know Jesus? I love Jesus with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul. And I can tell you're a person of faith. You need Jesus as much as I do, and we should sit down together and love Him together, study His Word together, learn the great things of God together, and listen, there's a huge difference between zeal and mediocrity. And it really does work. It really does work. No matter what happens, it works. And so, the Bible, you know, it speaks of zeal all throughout the scriptures. In Psalm 69 and 9, because zeal of your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me. We know where that took place with Jesus in the temple. In the New Testament, we read that. And we note these Bible passages. For example, Jesus in Capernaum in John chapter 2 and verses 12 through 17. Let me look at verse 15. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple. You remember that? He drove them out of the temple, those who were selling sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' tables and overturned the tables and said to those who sold doves and take these things away. Why did he say, my Father's house is a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise? And so we need to have a zeal for the house of God for good. We need to have a zeal for the love of God for good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and at verse 2, the Apostle Paul, he says, I know of your willingness, which I boast of you. In Macedonia and Achaia, it was ready a year ago. Your zeal has stirred up the majority. Those people were giving and giving and giving, but they gave of themselves first. Their zeal for God overpowered everything else, and what a great reputation they built up. And when you look at the idea of repentance is a great thing. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 9 through 11, is it? And what we're reading about is what happens when a person repents. Look at that with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and 9 through 11. Paul says, "Now I rejoice that you were made sorrow. I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow, led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. Remember the definition for zeal included diligence. What clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, and what zeal. You know, you could pretty much take all of those descriptions and put them into the idea of that one word, zeal. Diligence. Clearing, indignation of, as he goes on there, fear, vehement desire. It's just a picture of zeal that one has when they repent, when they turn away from sin. We need to have that in our lives. You know, zeal has stirred up the majority, the Apostle Paul says. What a catchy phrase. When you think about your zeal, you have a zeal for Jesus, it's going to stir people up. When you show your zeal for the love of God, it's going to stir people up. When you show your zeal for the church and for the truth and for the Word of God, it's going to stir people up. They're not going to walk away so easily. We need to be a people. But understand that not all zeal is good. There is such a thing as bad zeal. In Romans chapter 10, we're familiar with verse 12 that Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel, that you may all be saved." And he says, "But I bear witness that you have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." And when you think of that, that's a bad zeal. The Apostle Paul himself used his zeal to persecute the church. In Philippians chapter 3 and at verse 6. He persecuted the church concerning the righteousness which was in the law blameless. And so zeal isn't always a good thing. Because sometimes it's not according to knowledge. Sometimes it's causing harm. And it's not always a great and a good thing. You know, in the book of Matthew, it's kind of hard not to see this, that sometimes when we talk about zeal, but not according to knowledge, Matthew chapter 7 is a great example where Jesus is telling these people, they have come to Him in verse 21, and they said, Jesus says to them, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" They had zeal, but not according to knowledge. You know what? The knowledge they were missing is quite obvious. When Jesus said, "Then I will declare to you them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." It was the people who did not do the will of God who is in heaven. They didn't have a zeal for doing the will of God. In Acts chapter 2, and in verse 9, it was the Apostle Paul again. He received letters from Damascus that if he found anybody that was in the way of Christ, teaching the way of Christ, whether men or women, he'd bring them bound to Jerusalem. He had zeal to do that very thing. That wasn't a good zeal. In Acts chapter 22, and at verse 3 and 4, he was a Jew, he says, born in the city of Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. He had great zeal. He was taught according to the strictness of the law. That's what Paul was. And he actually exceeded. He was more zealous towards God than even his father. But he persecuted the way to death, binding and delivering Christians into prison, both men and women. He had zeal, but the zeal was for the wrong things. And when we look at our society today, there's plenty of churches out there that they, you know, in some way, and I don't mean this in a to be mean or anything, but in some way they're more zealous. They show more zealousness for God than many of the churches. But you know what? That's not according to knowledge. They have a zeal for the emotion, a zeal for how it makes them feel. They have a zeal because they don't really have to do a whole lot. Just love the name of Jesus and shout His name. It was Paul in Galatians chapter 4 and at verse 8, when he was talking to the churches of Galatia, he said it is a good thing to be zealous in a good thing. Always. And so we need to have that zeal. You know, secondly, where do we need zeal? We need zeal in preaching. Right? Mark chapter 16 and at verse 16, the Apostle Paul, right? Or Jesus rather, 16 and 15. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he who believes not shall be damned. Zeal. You preach the truth, that's the right kind of zeal. You preach the truth, and that is the right kind of zeal. And we're not ashamed of that truth at all, are we? You know, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we think of the apostles, their mission, that track that Jesus put them on. He told them, you know, you go to Jerusalem, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You can't do that in a mediocre way. You can't do that if you're really kind of cut between the world and Christ. You can't do that. We have to have zeal. We have to develop that great zeal for the work of the church. For telling people just about Jesus, who He is, what He did for us. Think of Philip's zeal there in Acts chapter 8 and at verse 30. You remember what happened there, right? The Spirit of God comes and He tells Philip to go over to Gaza. And something amazing happens there. Look at what happens in Acts chapter 8. And we're looking here in verse 26. It says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now you look at verse 30. So Philip ran. He ran. He ran to him. He ran to that Ethiopian eunuch. He ran to that chariot. And as he's running up there. And listen, I don't know for absolute certain, but I do know that the distance between Samaria, where he was there preaching, and Gaza is 106 kilometers, give or take. That's 62 to 65 miles at best. The Scripture says he ran. I don't know if he ran that whole way. I don't know if the Spirit of God lifted him up and took him. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the zeal is in that word ran. You know, if you're in an airport and your plane's leaving in 10 minutes and you need to get to the other side of the airport, you don't walk. Right? You run. That's kind of like zeal. You got to get there no matter what. People are in your way. Look out, move, hey, watch, push. Sorry, guy. But you're on your way. You don't want to miss that plane. You don't want to miss that plane. And Philip, he certainly didn't want to miss that Ethiopian eunuch, that opportunity, that chariot with a man reading from the book of Isaiah, that place where the angel of the Lord sent him, told him, you go. And he went, but he didn't walk. He didn't sit there and wait for the bus or the chariot. He ran to there. That's zeal. And look, you know, we all know what happened. I think that when he sat in that chariot and the man says, you know, of whom is he speaking, of himself or another? And Philip got in the chariot and he began to preach Jesus from that point. I don't think Philip sat there and just read words. I think he let that man know how much Jesus meant to him. I think that's what happened. And so think about it. Samaria, Jerusalem, Gaza. Well, that, you know, that says over 90 miles, but I'm pretty sure it's about 65. We'll have to check me on that. Paul zealously preached the gospel. You know, we need to have zeal in preaching the gospel, but that's not just my job. All of us need to be zealous about telling people about Christ. It was the Apostle Paul, you know, in Romans chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. And I love those two together. I think I've said this many times. Paul said, so much is in me is that I must preach the gospel to those who are in Rome also. So much is in me is. I'm like a balloon and you're blowing me up with the Word of God. You're blowing me up with all the wonders that I know about Jesus. You're blowing me up with the hope of heaven. You're blowing me up with the prize. And I got so much in me, I'm going to burst if I don't preach. And then he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. We can't be afraid, but we need to be zealous. When Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, and by which you were saved. And if you hold fast to the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain, that I delivered to you first that which also I received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again, and according to the Scriptures these things happen. Listen, that's the zeal. Just simply preach. Teach and tell people. And don't be afraid to be emotional. Don't be afraid to let them know you have this great love and this great desire for them to be with you in heaven one day. We also need zeal in worship. Brother Matt taught a great message about our emotions and how they should be a part of our worship. Worship is important. And many today do lack that zeal, and yet John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus said, you know, that God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. We know the truth, we know how to worship Him, and we know what the Spirit is in us. We shouldn't be afraid to let ourselves know that we love worshiping God. And quite the opposite of that, we see in Malachi chapter 1 and at verse 13. When you read that, oh, what a weariness, the Lord says. They polluted their worship. You know, they brought an offering to God that wasn't acceptable to God. They wouldn't even give that to their governors, let alone to be giving that to God. And why should I accept this from your hand? Have zeal in our worship is important. Heaven, or rather our heart in worship is a must. We worship Him in spirit and truth. Can you imagine our singing, what it would be like if we didn't have zeal? It'd be pathetic. I'm glad that we do. I enjoy the singing. I enjoy hearing all the voices. I enjoy when the ladies sing out loud and when Matt helps me singing low. I have trouble with that. I tried to do that with the song he led before the lesson, and you can forget that. He'll have to show me how to do that. But we sing with zeal. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9? He said, your hearts, your lips, you honor me, and with your mouths, but your heart is far from me, in vain you worship me. Their hearts were far from him. Right? You honor me with your lips and with your mouths, but your heart is far from me. In vain you do worship me. And we don't want our worship to be vain. Absolutely not. And worship, of course, is very important. We've all heard not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Developing that encouragement, that zeal for coming together and unity of faith to worship our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we want people to see our zeal, right? We want people to see our zeal. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. People are going to see that, right? It's a city that set up on a hill. It can't be hidden. We're like the city set up on a hill. People need to see our light. And then they don't see the light if the mouth doesn't move, if the heart isn't moving, if the hands aren't moving. You know, it's not going to those. In the old days, they had those voice synthesizers on the computers. You could type in a phrase, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and the computer would go, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, dot, dot, dot. Got to be careful what you type in those things, too. That isn't it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that, my friend? Because that's not the end all. Believing in Jesus, believing His preaching, believing His gospel, you see my zeal. And that's what we should develop when we go out to in the world. We want people to see that. Walking in the parking lot and you see somebody, let them see your zeal. You don't have to kind of be crazy like me, but let them see your zeal. Because it really does work. It turns heads and hearts. When people know that you're all in, then they're more likely to follow you. They're more likely to follow you. You know, you think, why did Paul tarry in Acts chapter 20? Verses 6 and 7. Why did he wait 7 days so that upon the eighth day he could come together and break bread with the disciples and preach unto them? Why did he do that? Was it to make Eutychus tired waiting so that Eutychus could fall? No, that was a different part of the story. He waited because that first day of the week, he was ready for that. He wanted that. And he was excited about it. Paul, indeed, was a light in this world. And we need to remember that. We are that light. We're not to be hidden. We're to be up there, on a stand, on a lampstand, not put under a basket, but a lampstand that gives light to everyone who comes in to the house. Boy, that's exciting. Another thing, we need to have zeal in our worship when it comes to singing. I already mentioned that, right? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's zeal. In Colossians, we're told that, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another. That's a word that means we're really lifting one another up, exciting one another. You know, getting a fire burned under one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. That's zeal in our worship. That's zeal in our singing. And I'm thankful again, as I mentioned before, I'm excited about that. I will declare your name to my brother in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. Isn't that great? Robert probably can attest, and I'm sure all of you can attest to how wonderful it is when the house is packed with Christians and those voices rise up, a sweet-smelling savor to God, and they don't just rise up, but they emanate in our hearts, they permeate our hearts, and we all get excited. We all are saying, in the midst of the assembly, I will sing and praise to you. You know, basically, it's just an expression of our heart. James says, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. Zeal for authority is something we must have too. Right? We're told by the Scriptures, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We have to understand that Jesus Himself in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, I have all authority in heaven and earth is mine. And so when Jesus says go, we go. We don't go going, all right, Jesus, I'm going to go. Don't push. We go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to go. Let me get out there. Let me at them. Let me get out into that world. Let me proclaim the praises of God to the dark and dying world. Let me be that light. Let me be the voice. Let them see my zeal. It's exciting. You know, without authority, everything will just really come to nothing. But we have authority. We have authority. You know, in Acts chapter 5, we read, you know, they wanted to end all this discussion about Jesus. They wanted this whole thing about Jesus to stop. And Gamaliel rightly said, this work is, if it's of men, it will come to nothing. But if it's God, who can stop it? Why? Why is it? Who can stop it? Because God's people have zeal. You're not going to stop them. They should be, you know, God's people, us. We should be like a tractor. If you've seen those big, giant bulldozers, and man, they just push stuff. I had a chance to ride one of those at my son's house, I think 2 summers back. And he was grading out lawn and tearing down buildings and stuff. And that bulldozer, boy, it's like nothing could stop it. Nothing could stop it. It's a perfect example of zeal. And I'll tell you, if you're out there for God, nothing can stop you. Zeal for the words of God is something we have to have. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God, right? It's so important. If you're going to do it right. Do it according to the Word of God. You know, we do it, if we're ministering, we do it with all our ability. In other words, with all the zeal behind it. Everything that God supplies for us, we use, and all things may be to the glory of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Zeal. And, of course, we need to put the Lord first in all things. As long as we're out doing the work of the Lord, we don't have to worry about anything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about clothing, housing, food for your belly. In fact, you don't worry about your health. You don't worry about anything. You're just out there doing the work for the Lord. Far too many people today put other things before that zealousness. They're zealous for so many other things. But remember the words, did our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road? And while He opened the Scriptures to us? Remember those two men walking along and then, oh boy, here's this guy, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. But they found out, didn't they? And it caused something to burn in their hearts. They knew who He was. And so we need to have zeal. We need to have zeal. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs, chapter 23. And verses 16 through 18. Yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Remember what Paul said, be zealous in a good thing always? Well, here Solomon is telling us we need to be zealous, we need to understand, and we need to have a heart for God. We need to understand. You see, there is a hereafter. And if we're mediocre about it, we won't be in it. It's like those people in the book of Matthew who said, Lord, Lord. And Jesus flat out told them, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. If you're here today, you know, I look around the room, I'm absolutely positive that everybody here has heard the gospel. Positive. I understand. You understand. Jesus told us that we needed to hear and be taught. And you have. Jesus told us that we had to believe what we hear and what we're taught. And I'm sure you do. And we need to repent of our sins because we all know that we all fall short of the glory of God. And we also need to confess Jesus before men. We're hearing the gospel again and again and again. But if you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, just understand, surely, there is a hereafter. And if you don't obey the gospel, your hope will be cut off. Whatever you might need tonight, make this night the night you fulfill that need. Whether it's to be baptized or to repent of sins, we have a song of invitation tonight. Please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.